I want to speak this morning briefly on the idea that you are hearing a lot about this month, and that is Thanksgiving. I don't know how that we can always have an attitude of gratitude. That's the goal that I want in my own life, but I don't always have it. And I think that's okay too, though, because we live in a world that's filled with unthankfulness. We live in a world that's unpredictable. There are those of you sitting here today who are thinking through and processing things that you've just heard of this week. I'm thinking of sickness. I'm thinking of Susan's son. She received a phone call just this morning. But God really does want us to always be in a state of gratitude. As far as possible, that's what He wants for us. And I'd like to share some examples today. Turn back with me to the book of Daniel. We don't often think of Daniel being a prime example of someone who was a very thankful person, but yet he was, and the Scriptures tell us that. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 6, our first text for the day. The only way I can tell you to always have an attitude of gratitude is to fill your mind with the thoughts that are positive and powerfully scriptural. Flood your mind with things that are holy and pure. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, after Daniel knew that a death decree had been signed against him, and he wasn't worthy of a death decree, but this is what he did. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room he went with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Also in Daniel chapter 2, you remember the story there. A similar death decree was given, but not only to Daniel, but to all of the wise men of Babylon. And in the second chapter of Daniel, we find part of Daniel's prayer before God. And in his prayer, we find this attitude of thanksgiving. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23. Written and recorded are these words: I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. So there again is Daniel opening up his heart before God and saying, God, I thank you. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for the wisdom that you have given to me. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament. Turn with me to the book of Acts. And I want to refer you to Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul has been shipwrecked along with over 276 other persons on board. But in Acts chapter 27, I find this beginning with verse 33. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all, let's eat, let's take some food. Today is the 14th day that you have waited and continued without food, and you have eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Now, verse 35, this is it. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us the ingredients of that prayer. He just simply records here that he took bread and gave thanks in the presence of them all. I wonder what he was praying for. I think not he was only praying for the nourishment that would be in that food that they were eating. I think that he was thanking this great abundant God of heaven for every provision of life given to him in the past and for the very essence of life that he had at that moment. This had a profound effect on everybody else. They were discouraged. They were wanting to give up. But because of one man's thankfulness, the Bible record also continues, then they were all encouraged. And they all took food for themselves. And in all, there were about 276 people on that ship. Here's the classic text. Turn over here with me, if you will, to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the one that we memorized in Sabbath school class. And Emily and Lisa, you've probably had this one also in your memory verse. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Also coming from the life of the same individual. He says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not always easy to give thanks in everything. But I promise you, if we will utter the words with a sincere spirit, with a heart intent upon pleasing God, He will multiply the thought processes taking place. We may not be happy every day. We may not be thankful of every bad thing that happens, but we will become more appreciative of God's working and God's leading in our life. Daniel was thankful. Paul was thankful. And Jesus Christ was also thankful. In the book of Matthew, I'd like to read a couple of scriptures here. Matthew chapter 15. It's a standard with Jesus and Paul to pray before they eat. And Scripture doesn't say that they said grace, although we use that term often. It's always thanks. That they would return thanks or they would give thanks. It means they are praying, asking God with a grateful heart. And asking God to continue His blessings. Matthew 15, He's feeding the great multitude. It says in verse 36, and He took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. And He broke them and gave them to His disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. Somebody here tell me, why would Jesus be giving thanks over that which He Himself is the Creator? Why would He need or why would He feel inclined to give thanks? I mean, after all, He built it. He designed the fish and the grain and the bread and all of that. It's from His existence that everything else moves and lives and have its being. Why would He find it necessary or appropriate to take the bread and to give thanks before it's distributed? Well, you're too quiet today. He's always our example. He did it to show our need, humanity's need, of a higher power. And not a nameless higher power, but that of the superpower, God Almighty. Last week, we sat right here, and there was a beautifully decorated table adorned with the emblems of bread and wine, covered with a beautiful white linen tablecloth. And our attention was directed to the communion supper that Jesus started in the upper room. And the scripture record is that on that evening, he took the bread and he also gave thanks, did he not? And then when he took the cup, the Bible says that he gave thanks in a similar way. Who's he praying to? He's praying to God himself. I wouldn't be surprised if there was not some silent prayers that Jesus included that are not even written in Scripture. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Turn there with me. Not every city was graceful to Christ and loving to him. And I guess that's a part of the ministry that he served. But he prayed for those cities. And in verse 25, as Jesus is praying, the Bible says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.'" You see that? He's admonishing that God is over all, everything. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." Now, before I close today, I want you to go with me to one more text. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 10. We don't have as many of these little insights as we could appreciate, I'm sure, but we have plenty of them. But this is a unique part of Jesus' life that he doesn't talk about a whole lot. He does some. He prays for unity in John, that we would all be able to glorify the Father, that we could have the same unity that they had before he came to the earth. But listen to this in John 10, beginning with verse 17. The 70 disciples here. "Then the 70 returned with joy, and they said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Verse 18. "And he said to them, 'Have I ever told you of my past? I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven.'" If they were sitting, they must have been on the edge of their seats. If they were standing, they must have gotten very quiet. They realized a little bit of the power of the tempter, of Satan, but Jesus knows him personally. "I was there when he left heaven. I saw him falling like lightning." Verses 19 and 20. "But I give you as my representatives power over Satan and over the demons. It's a greater thing to rejoice that your name is in the book of life than to have the power to cast out demons." Verse 21. "It was in that same hour that Jesus prayed. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, and he said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.'" You see, this is it's becoming a habit of Jesus. "I thank you for hearing me. I thank you for letting me have glory so that you may be glorified. In John 11, as he stood before the closed tomb of Lazarus, he prays, I thank you, God, that you have heard me. This would be a good week to prepare for eternity. It would be a good week to practice this attitude of gratitude that Daniel enjoyed, that the Apostle Paul exercised, and the greatest example of all, Jesus Christ. He lived that life every day, and we have the record of it here. As we pray today, Lord, we pray with a heart that doesn't even know how to express thankfulness the way we desire. But we give you permission to teach us how to be thankful, how to have an attitude of gratitude, and especially this month, as the community around us focuses on Thanksgiving, may we be an example to all of those that you are the supreme God of the universe, and we have something mighty to be thankful about. Dismiss us with thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.